Hello and welcome to this very festive edition of Sistrix with Kanda. I am one of your very Christmassy hosts, Jack Chambers Ward, and my fellow festive host, hello, Mark Williams Cook.
Hello, Jack.
We're rocking some Christmas hats. I've got my appropriately nerdy Christmas jumper on. You're rocking a Kanda jumper. We're feeling festive. It's Christmas time. If you listen to this on the podcast on the day it comes out, this is actually Christmas Day. So Merry Christmas if you do celebrate. And if you're watching this on the Sistrix YouTube channel, you can just see how festive we're being. We've got tinsel behind us. We've got everything going. We're feeling very festive.
I would like to think someone would listen to it on Christmas Day. actually, message me if you do. I'll send you something for your dedication.
You'd be surprised because there's that lull after kind of like, you know, you've had your presents, you've had your dinner, you're kind of like, oh, what do we do now?
Put an SEO podcast on.
Do you settle down with like the Doctor Who special or whatever? No. You go and listen to Search with Kanda. That's what you do. I've done it before. I've listened to podcasts on Christmas Day.
Really?
Yeah, but I'm a big podcast nerd. So
I don't think I ever have. Maybe this will be the year.
Maybe this will be the year. If you are listening, please do let us know on Christmas Day. That would be hilarious. But anyway, we are here to talk about basically a lot that's gone on in 2023 and some thoughts about what could be coming up in 2024 as well. We're going to go through all the major updates and additions to the Sistrix service that have happened throughout 2023. We're going to go through our predictions that Mark and I made at the end of last year and how accurate they were or how inaccurate they were in some cases. We'll also talk about all the Google updates that have happened throughout the year, all 10 of them, plus a potential extra special 11th one that might be happening right now, and kind of the theme of the year and what we think this means for 2024 as well. So a lot to talk about, a lot to cover, and let's dive straight in with the highlights from the fantastic people over at Sistrix. If you're watching us on their YouTube channel, first of all, thank you very much, and thank you so much to Sistrix for sponsoring us and making this show possible over the last year throughout 2023. And we are here talking all about the major updates and improvements to their service and features and tools over the last 12 months, or of course, highlighted by the wonderful Steve Payne. Shout out to Steve for everything he's done for the show as well. And basically, I'm going to dive into some of my favorites. You can see AI content features there. There's a lovely little clip we've got here of the AI content tool that is now on Sistrix and has been going for about 10 or 11 months now. And particularly handy little bit, especially in the big AI kind of swamp of content we've seen over the last year or so, a plagiarism checker, which I think is hugely important to work out how original actually is your content and how useful is it, right?
Yeah, I think one of the extra special things about this is you've got the Sistrix data like around the keyword research to put into AI to help it with content, because one of my biggest criticisms of just smacking it into ChatGPT is it doesn't actually have keyword data, so you can slightly improve it if you start feeding it that. So this is a really good use case for their data and using AI as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Speaking of data, you can also look at the latest, freshest data, often within 10 minutes of it being updated in their database. You can click that little update SERP button. You can see that in the middle of the screen, just above our heads there. And that will give you the freshest SERP data for even festive terms like turkey crown. If you want to find out what people are searching over Christmas period, you get the latest SERP updates there within 10 minutes, which is about as up to date as you can possibly get. Next up, they also have keyword clustering again for turkey crowns. This is another feature I've used previously as well, working with clients here at Kanda. Keyword clustering and understanding how Google is understanding those keywords and creating a cluster around it and understanding how topics relate to each other and all that kind of stuff, I think is hugely important. I think you'd agree, Mark, considering the conversations we've had over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I was slightly shocked as I misread this briefly as turkey clown. It makes a lot more sense to me now.
I'm trying to picture a turkey clown now.
Just maybe making the clustering tool catch fire.
With the most cursed searches at Christmas time. Also, a really cool addition is the segmentation feature of the visibility index. Visibility index is something we've talked about a lot. I think it is one of the key points and one of the biggest selling points and one of the most unique things about the Sistrix app and features. And this allows you to segment your branded. And this is basically looking at Pizza Hut as an example, and you can see almost half of their visibility come from branded searches. And it's literally a couple of clicks, you put in your own branded terms, and you get a basically segmented section of branded versus unbranded. And I know that's something you've touched on a lot with clients, especially when we're pitching and in that proposal yep. stage and understanding when it comes to things like migrations as well. Like, there's so much stuff that is kind of lumped into one big, here is all your traffic or here is all your visibility. But actually being able to separate branded and unbranded is hugely important, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is why you see Systrix basically as the de facto tool now for a lot of search visibility. You see anyone posting stuff, a lot of the time it is Systrix data because it good.
Yeah, you'll recognize those graphs for sure. And finally, my favorite feature, and it was my favorite previously, but now it's an updated, improved compare SERPs feature. We're still on Turkey Crown, of course, not Turkey Clown, but Turkey Crown. But now with the compare SERPs, you don't just get a set of today's date and a previous date you're looking at. You can do up to three. So today's date, a previous date, and even further back. So this is going back 6 months and 12 months as well. You get to see how much the SERPs have changed across multiple time periods. And I think that is really cool. And you get the lovely little green and red arrows going up and down to really kind of clearly lay out how much SERPs have changed. And oh boy, they've been volatile over the last few months.
So. Well, I was going to say, they put three in now, so you can just cover the last week of Google updates, I think. No, I've just noticed since you've posted this as well, one thing that really stands out to me on that final most recent SERP there is all of the subdomains that are popping up. Christmasfood.marksandspencer, new, yep. Foodtoorder.sainsbury's.
Yep.
Well, we'll talk about that later.
Very, very interesting.
Cough and parasites, cough subdomains.
Well, if you want to go and check out any of these features, please go to systrix.com/SWC. You can try out some of their free tools and, of course, get a free trial of the premium service that includes all of these amazing updated features that have been added to. And this is scratching the surface, by the way. If I go back to that first image, you can see the whole list of them just down the side there. I only touched on a handful of the about dozen updates that have happened. So you're not just getting a feature set that is just kind of sat there and stagnant. They're constantly updating not only their databases, but the power and the tools and the features that you can use if you sign up to Systrix. So like I said, go to systrix.com/SWC and you get a free trial of their fantastic service. Should we embarrass ourselves, Mark?
Yes. I saw you preparing these notes and I cannot remember what I said a year ago.
Good. Well,
so let's do it.
It's a good thing we transcribe our podcasts, because if we go back to episode 50, so 51 episodes ago, since this is episode 101 of the podcast, we go back all the way to December 2022 and have a look at some predictions. So here is the transcript from our website, from withcanada.co.uk, and you can see, Mark, I am putting all of my prediction chips into Spam Brain. I think Spam Brain is going to get much more impactful than people realize. And you go on to talk about how Google are targeting sites that are buying links and that are using those links to, you know, using paid links to pass on mm-hmm. stuff, paid for bloggers, PBNs, all that kind of stuff. And there's a quote from Google here, the update will neutralize links. Sure, okay. Detects as being spamful and thus links won't be counted. So you'll get a decline in ranking. I think we've seen a lot of this, to be honest. And you also talk about AI-based spam detection there as well, the second section I've highlighted there. And you said, I think it's going to be very interesting because I've already seen the usual crew be like, ha, 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 Google's rubbish at link detection. I've been buying links for years. Well, I think you kind of nailed the September helpful content update there, Mark.
So I think an interesting thing is, and this came up at the Take It Offline conference as well, which is very, very, very few people, and personally, the people I speak to regularly, I haven't heard of anyone getting a manual action for link spam. But it's still being tackled. So I think Spam Brain is doing its job in many ways, and the AI spam systems, which is specifically neutralizing, not penalizing for yep. that kind of link footprint. So it's kind of insidious because you don't really realize it's happening, because if you get, you know, I've seen sites over the last 5-6 years get those messages in Search Console where it says, hey, sorry, caught you, bad links, here's some examples. Yep. And then you can definitely say, okay, well, this isn't working, need to remove these. Now I think because of the scale and because of the way they're just not counting them, it's actually made things a lot harder because you don't know what is working and what isn't.
Yeah.
And I think this is all tied to something we'll talk about maybe in a bit, which is I think generally we're seeing bigger sites rank, bigger brands with bigger legit link profiles. I think that's tied to a bunch of other things, but I wouldn't say maybe I nailed it, but I think it's close. It's
pointing
definitely
in the right direction.
It's definitely
sure.
pointing in the right direction. Yeah. Didn't lead us astray. I'll take that.
Whereas my big prediction, my spicy take, and I prefaced this with like, oh, it's so spicy and blah, blah, blah. I was right to do that. I was an idiot. let's talk about how Google introduced Index Now in 2023. Right, everybody? Guys, viewers and listeners at home?
I believe I disagreed with this at the time well.
I'm pretty sure you did, yeah.
I'm feeling cocky now.
So I even say I'm being vague here and trying to get away with stuff. And I'm purposely being... But basically what I said was, because Bing has seen so much success, and there's a quote here from Bing talking about how 7% of all new URLs clicked on Bing search in the past month were sourced from Index Now protocols. And they also launched the API like late in 2022 and all that kind of stuff. And hopefully this is going to be like, oh, maybe Google will adopt this kind of thing. And I was thoroughly wrong. Google have not updated or included or even really officially discussed anything to do with Index Now in 2023. However, I think there is a very interesting point for you that I highlighted at the bottom there that you said, my feel for Google is that they've got crawling thing down in the, even on newly fairly big sites like the Canary and the Mine site we've talked about many times on the show before that got absolutely murdered by the spam updates and things. That's 10,000 pages pretty much fully indexed within a few weeks. The issue everyone's having is whether Google wants to index it or not. And I think this is a very hot topic, something I know Daniel Foley-Carter has been talking about a lot recently, whether that was at the Search Norwich talk that he did for us a couple of months ago, and even, you know, his updates on LinkedIn and webinars and things like that. It's getting indexed and being stuck in that crawled but not indexed, discovered, not currently indexed thing, right? And I mean, you saying the issue everyone's having is whether Google wants to index or not is a huge, huge call out for 2023 and I think going into 2024 as well.
We got some numbers on that as well because we heard this year that the estimate of Google's index size was 500 billion pages.
Which is way smaller than you would assume it would be, right?
Yeah. Because I think Moz, I can't remember the figure now, but they were in the tens of trillions of documents they know about. So even if you take let's say for argument's sake, there's 10 trillion documents on the web, Google's indexing 500 billion, that means 5% or less of the pages it knows about. So it's actually the majority of pages it isn't indexing. And because everyone that's operating legitimate sites is operating in those few small percent at the top, because a lot of the web content out there is just machine generated rubbish.
Yeah.
Even if Google adjusts that dial slightly, like will it index, you know, 1% point less.
That's billions and billions of pages.
Everyone starts to notice because it starts rising the tide and creeping around that. With all the AI content stuff, I can't see that getting better, that situation.
Yeah.
And again, we'll talk about that maybe in a bit, but I think they're trying to tackle it in different ways now with the most recent updates.
Definitely, definitely. And I think it's worth saying something I mentioned on that screenshot there as well, like the fact that it's crawl now, not index now, which is kind of a big kind of mis-selling of that whole thing. And like, yeah, we'll guarantee you getting indexed. Like, that's not how that actually works on Bing. It increases your likelihood of getting crawled. And that therefore, I guess, in theory, if your content is good and all that kind of stuff, increases your likelihood of being indexed. But as you say that, I think Google kind of knows how to crawl the internet at this point. So yeah, they probably don't need the assistance that something like Bing does. And we'll wrap things up on our predictions with a kind of double prediction that I think counts as a... So we've got one win for you, one lose for me. So it's 1-0 kind of at the moment.
Didn't realize we're scoring.
I know, right? It suddenly got competitive. This is kind of one for each of us. Okay. So we were talking about the growth of Bert and Mum and how more LLMs and more AI stuff is going to happen. Surprise, surprise. We predicted that more AI stuff is going to happen in 2023.
Safe bet.
Who would have guessed? Yeah, exactly. But you say here, Google bringing together different formats and making them more indexable and joining up all of that information. I think it's definitely going to be a trend in 2023. And alongside that, I think we're going to see more centralization and curation because to use this, I think effectively you need the Google app, and Google app obviously has stuff like the feed built in, like Google Discover. And we've seen the SERPs look a lot more like Google Discover. That has been a hot topic we have discussed on many episodes this year. So look at you predicting how more curation and personalization is coming to the SERPs in a format like the notes we talked about last month, and people giving direct feedback on the SERPs, and everything kind of feeling a bit more like Discover and more like that kind of perspective, kind of socially kind of feed, rather than the traditional 10 blue link SERP we've seen before, right?
I guess the apex of that is what Google's talking about with Gemini, which is the customized user interface based on the query, which, did not foresee. And I haven't actually seen it yet. We don't know if that's just a thing Google quickly did in Photoshop. And we're like, yeah, it's totally doing this now.
They have had a habit for bad Photoshops and stuff with product launches. So wouldn't surprise me, Google, if you're just making that up. And then I come around and I say, coming back around to AI and stuff, because understanding how Bert and Mum work and how integral Google is, definitely saying they are really integral to our ranking systems. And they also talk about how featured snippets now integrate Mum, and talk about how they are understanding featured snippets in a different way, getting a wider consensus from the overall web to understand what should be featured as a feature snippet, rather than just picking the first thing with the nearest kind of schema and all that kind of stuff. And I summarize by saying, we talk about a lot of these new SERP features, and it's a very controversial topic because essentially Google is taking your content and hosting it on their site, and people might not then click through to you and get the full piece of information if they just want the answer on the SERP. That kind of sounds like SGE, right? I know, again, lowball, easy kind of easy play there, but
that's pretty specific.
I think
if we've got to give one, I think you'd get the point for that.
Thanks, mate. Well, yeah, I think we both get points there. You basically called out the curation and customization of the SERPs, and then I basically suggested SGE was going to be a thing of AI is going to change. They're going to create these feature snippets on steroids, as is the phrase that people use to describe it. I think we kind of got both there, right? Pretty much.
Okay, I'll take it. 2-1.
2-1 to you, Mark.
one thing I found interesting about this, so when there was a couple of versions of the SGE they were testing this year.
Yeah.
And there were some complaints from SEOs about Google removing the links from the SGE to the source sites.
No citations, yeah.
Yeah, and then Danny, Search Liaison, came back and said, actually, the sources are still there. They've always been there. Nothing's changed. They're in the like carousel at the top. And then later in the year, I was listening to a Search Off the Record podcast with Gary Martin and John, and they were doing this building our own search engine kind of skit.
Yep.
And I think it was John that made a joke about, you know, how can we improve it? And he was like, oh, we could put a carousel in or something.
Yeah, because everybody loves a carousel.
I think being an in-joke that we know people don't generally, I think, interact with carousels as much. And then I just found it funny that that's something Google's done as the way to provide the click citation to those sites. It's like, yeah, we're gonna put you in a carousel. It's really like the cheap seats at the back of the SERP. Like, don't worry, yeah, you're in the carousel. It's fine.
Oh, cheeky old Google once again. I think we did pretty well on those predictions. Could have gone a lot worse.
Yes, yeah.
Could have gone a lot worse.
Yeah.
Apart from my bold Index Now thing.
I'll get you an Index Now t-shirt or something next year.
I look forward to that. With a Google logo. And we'll move on to talking about the Google updates of the year. Again, something we've covered many, many times, so I won't go through in much detail, but this is the official summary from Google on their search status dashboard. All 10 updates, including how long they took to roll out, including the reviews update taking nearly a month to roll out. That didn't even occur to me it took me that long. All the way from the February update to the March core update, the reviews update in April, the August core update, the dreaded September helpful content update that was the big one that everybody freaked out about, the spam update in October. There's a ranking experience ongoing issue also in there as well because it's a status dashboard. The October core update, the November core update, and then finally culminating in the final one of the year, possibly, November reviews update as well. So kind of a mishmash of stuff, a lot of stuff going on there. It was about the same as we had last year. We had 10 last year as well, officially confirmed. So the same number in 2022 as we had in 2023. However,
that Q4.
Yeah, that kind of all happening, as you know, it's like halfway down, you hit September, and then everything else above that is the rest of the year, basically. And it's kind of crazy to think how much that helpful content update, I know, obviously, us being in the bubble of SEO and being in the industry and being on social media and all that kind of stuff, everybody talked about that specific update and how much it attacked people's sites. And we had issues with our site with DeathSave as well, like talking about how much we think wrongly affected us, because we were using legit firsthand experience, legit experts in the field and all that kind of stuff. Genuinely good content. We had highlighted on this podcast before as an example of genuinely helpful content and all this kind of stuff. I know we had conversations with Dr. Marie Haynes talking about analyzing that whole thing and looking at the processes. She's one of the best at looking into how updates affect sites. And I know Lily Ray has tackled this a lot, using a lot of Sistrix data, going through and seeing how much people have been affected. Mm. So I guess, what do we think about the kind of overall story of the year? What is Google trying to tell us? What is Google trying to say from these 10, and considering the SERP volatility, possibly 11 updates? What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, that's a big, big story. I mean, so the HCU, I think people were right to be a little bit hand-wavy about that, because it was pretty much, I've seen the biggest update we've had for several years, I'd say, in terms of the drastic impact it had on sites. As you said, like with our own smaller site that got hit, I discussed that with Lily, I discussed it with Dr. Marie Haynes. And, you know, as we said, I don't think there's anything particularly wrong with that. I think it's like a pattern issue. And I think we've seen things flip on their head over the last 2 years. So the talk that I gave at Brighton SEO in 2021 around, I was doing these case studies on how pretty new websites were ranking and getting literally in the 6 to 7 figures of organic traffic within 6 months through tackling all of this long tail stuff, because Google had all these updates that allowed it to essentially quickly find out this content. And they didn't seem to be too bothered whether the site was kind of brand new. And I think this was Google's older, if you like, algorithms, older approach, not necessarily algorithms, but older approach to this is what we want in the SERP. Meeting the very fast rising tide of AI and stuff. And we had this kind of little mini golden age, I think, of niche site people. Like, I saw more niche site people in like 2021 and 2022 than I have for years. You know, suddenly all these affiliate people like, you know, doing great. And then since HEU, it mainly seems to be those kinds of people affected. And I think a thing we've discussed before, so I think there's two threads here. One is, I think it was Eric Schmicks. I mentioned it a couple of episodes ago and I went and looked it up, who said brands might be the answer in terms of Google search results. He said that many years ago.
Yeah.
And it's certainly what I'm seeing more now in the SERPs, which is, we were discussing about this before, when I was looking even for like simple tools on like cropping photos, I was just getting like Adobe, Figma, Microsoft, Canva type search results.
Huge international household name kind of brands, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But they didn't actually have the thing I wanted.
Great.
So brands are the answer unless they don't have the answer. But then I was using stuff like DuckDuckGo and I was finding these small 2-3 page websites with a couple of ads on, but they just did the thing exactly as I wanted.
The thing we always use, I know we were talking about this, like every reporting week, everybody suddenly goes to percentagecalculator.net. Like, it does one thing and it does one thing very well. It doesn't need to do anything. You don't need a big brand behind it. It doesn't need to be owned by Adobe or anything. It just, what percentage is this number of this number? If you multiply these together, how much is this percentage? Like, it does basically four functions, basic maths functions, that saves a bunch of time. And I use it all the time in my client reporting. I know my colleagues here do as well.
Everyone does secretly.
Everyone does. Everyone does, right? And like you get little sites like that. For example, speaking of cutting out a profile picture, you were trying to make it circular, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I do that, funnily enough, since I'm wearing the jumper to go with it, to make tokens for Dungeons and Dragons for like online stuff. If you need to make it like a little circular thing that will fit on your virtual tabletop or your map or whatever, you can take other artwork and like basically do a little hole punch and like cut it out. And round token generator or round token creator is the kind of thing I do there. I guess it would work in a similar kind of way. And there is one site that is basically like roundtoken.net or whatever it is that does one thing and does one thing very well. And as far as I know, not owned, not like a big corporation or brand or anything. It's just one dude who was like, you know what I'd really like is to easily make tokens for my online D&D games. And here we are like a few months later.
So I'm seeing less of that now. Yeah. And I think this is the connected to the reason why sites like Death Save, maybe that didn't deserve it, got demoted, which is that published all this content and the site has basically no links. So to Google, it's kind of not a brand. It's just a random website. How the content, the type of content very much fits the pattern of what was being produced at scale with AI. So it just doesn't pass kind of this, I don't know what to call it, like brand sniff test, if you like, from Google. Yeah. So I don't think it's getting to the later stages of kind of evaluation of how good is this. Along with that, the first hand perspective stuff, I think that got turned up to 11 recently.
With all the UGC stuff we've been seeing on service recently.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been a long while coming. So I think the first review update was January, February time.
We talked about it, didn't we? Yeah. I remember you generated the AI review of that mouse that we talked about. And it was all like, oh, the speed of the laser. I was like, who cares about the speed of a laser and a mouse? Like that nobody is aware of like how this thing works. Like it doesn't matter. No human would write like, oh yeah, the frequency of the laser is great. Like that's not a thing. And because you purposefully made it so it was in first person. So as if it had used the product was reviewing it and stuff. And that's the thing. Everybody's saying like, well, just be original, provide an opinion. As long as you're using your firsthand experience, then you'll separate yourself from all the chaff that is the AI content, right? But can you not just generate that and fake that as well? And
exactly,
could even with a little bit of editing, taking out stuff like laser speed or frequency of the light of a mouse or whatever, the rest of it read pretty well because we literally did a comparison of here is a human review and an AI review.
Yeah, and it was like a really lazy prompt. Yeah. So then, I mean, that's the thing. So we're seeing now the stuff we're seeing with the HCU that is UGC, so the user generated stuff, is generally from what I've seen on big sites. Like obviously Reddit and Quora are the biggest examples. Systrix have shown like Reddit's like doubled its traffic in the last 6 months.
Yep.
So I think it's a merger of those two things of, okay, Google wants this firsthand experience stuff. But they have to hedge against people just saying to AI, write this as from a first person perspective and then just making up an author bio. Because that's the kind of thing people suggest, which is fine, you should do that. But my point is, it's very easy to fake. So it's not necessarily a good thing to get an algorithm to lean into. So you have to go on the, do I trust the website?
We've seen entire teams for companies just completely AI generated and made up before, right? Where it's like, I can't remember what example it was specifically, but there was an entire about us like team page on a site that was absolutely everyone was fake and they were assigned as authors and they must be experts because it says they have degrees from these real universities. Like, what, you're not uploading your like the scan of your degree or whatever. So like, oh yeah, this guy totally has a, you know, bachelor's in digital marketing or whatever. So he knows what he's talking about. That's not how that works. I could say whatever I have as my degree and I'd like, you've never seen my degree. I could be making up the whole astrophysics thing. Like, and you know me in person, have known me for years. So it's like the chance of knowing that about someone online and just being able to say like, oh yeah, Jack has a degree in English literature. Like that's believable, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. Sure. Why not?
So this is why I think the part of this story is that, so Google, the big problem Google's got is this AI generated content. It passes like this sort of sniff test for them of, well, it doesn't look like machine generated spam because it looks quite good. But people obviously can tell a lot of the time and they don't want it. So Google's like, okay, well, how can we get around this? UGC, I think, is a really good bet because communities that heavily self-moderate like Reddit are going to be some of the lowest chances of getting that AI generated stuff. And I think this is all related to as well why we're now seeing more parasite SEO than ever.
Yeah, this is a whole other topic, right? You mentioned the subdomains and kind of teased it earlier, right? We've seen a lot of stuff even within Google itself, with the Google Groups subdomain getting
Google Groups
attacked. There was a Harvard one as well that was
so Harvard was ranking number one for best VPN on their on their like blog section.
I guess someone from Harvard could know about VPNs, right? That's a
yeah,
sure, why not? Like that's the thing, right? Like you take a I couldn't even point out where Harvard is on a map, but I've heard of Harvard. I'm aware it's like a institution and one of the world's best universities. Like so it comes with that sniff test, like you said, right? That gravitas of being like, well, it must be true. It's coming from Harvard. But then best VPN, really? Like,
well, it's the same. So we've just seen the same today. I think it was Lily Ray again pointed this out, was internal AOL search pages. Yes. Are not only indexed, but are ranking. And the content on those pages is obviously just junk, but it's AOL.com. So it's kind of like Google seems to be like, well, it's a big brand, got a lot of links, a lot of people clicking on it.
Yep.
Must be okay. So yeah, I think they've, again, this is the issue with our like algorithmic approaches, right? You tweak things to fix one problem.
Yeah.
And then you spring a leak somewhere else. I think they've got to the stage of which leak is most damaging to us, probably financially.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've also got the sword of Damocles of the AI SGE stuff rolling out fully. So actually, if you think strategically, Google could say, well, okay, if it's factually, if it's solved content, i.e., you know, how do we bake a lasagna? I think it was John Alderson's example.
Yeah.
We can just SGE our own answer to that. If it's more perspective topic, perspective category, we can't SGE that. So let's gear our algorithm to rank UGC perspectives, brand new, fresh news stuff, all the stuff LLMs are bad at doing or AI is maybe bad at doing. And then our AI can maybe, they create essentially a gap for their own AI to plug in. I think, you know, that's going off wild speculating there, but I think that might be the play, because why would they want to serve your awful LLM content if they can just make their own awful LLM content?
That's pretty much the case, right? That's the thing we talked about in that little prediction of like, Google wants to host the content and keep you in the ecosystem and keep you on the SERP.
Click the ads,
make us more money, etc. And having kind of that separation, the two of the biggest hot topics I know I've talked about on the show before and the whole industry is talking about is the difference between SGE and perspectives. And perspectives essentially being that little SERP bubble filter like images and video and news and all that kind of stuff you're used to on the SERP. And I talked about this with Garrett Sussman, who had actually been using perspectives and seeing what it was like. And he was kind of like, I mean, it serves up a bunch of tweets and stuff, I guess. Like nothing but nothing crazy, nothing interesting. Like you'll get the occasional bit of interesting news, an occasional
hidden gem.
Hidden gem. There you go. There's the key phrase right there. You'll get the occasional hidden gem, but overall it was like you may as well just go to Twitter. Like, what's the difference here? And occasionally you would get Quora, but who uses Quora in 2023? Let's be real. It was an interesting thing where I wonder how much like this now affects perspective's position on the SERPs, right? Whether it will continue to be one of those little bubbles you can click and the little buttons at the top there, you can change the SERP. Or is that kind of where the SERP is going for these kind of terms, like you said, Mark, where you don't have the definitive factual answer you can generate yourself? You either get SGE that generates the facts and here's a recipe, here's the answer, here's the maths problem, whatever it is, or you get the SERP that is now essentially perspectives, which is here's the consensus, here's the opinions and all that kind of stuff. That could be a pretty big division in the SERPs and like trying to, I mean, good luck to SEO tools. Good luck to everyone out there trying to work out how I'm ranking third on perspectives for this thing, but nowhere because SG has stolen the other thing. And it's like, oh God. I think the SERPs are going to be changing a lot and not to do predictions in 2024, but I think we're going to see a big change and a big shift, right? Whether that's in one direction or the other or both directions and it kind of splitting off, which I think is kind of the direction we're kind of heading in, really.
Yeah. I think, there's the obvious, there will be more AI thing, which is very well trodden. But I do think brand focus stuff for next year is going to be even more important. So, I mean, in fairness, I think it was 2018 or 2019 that I did a talk on digital footprints in search, which was essentially, got it slightly wrong. So we talked about then, rather than LLMs, because they weren't a thing, we were talking about people using personal assistants as like a proxy for search engines. And we were saying, okay, yeah, there's probably going to be more immediate answer stuff, the whole answer engine thing. So making a digital footprint is still important.
Yep.
So I think you're going to have more activities for SEO. Well, the fruitful activities for SEO will be the ones that align with other types of brand building rather than we're doing this thing because of SEO metric, you know, and which should be the way everyone's been shifting anyway, naturally over the last like decade. But, you know, even LLMs, even Gemini, you know, which is built on that technology, but isn't just that, are still going to need to work out which one of these websites, which one of these companies, which one of these products is best. And they're doing that from free text data that is out there. So it's still very aligned with the type of things we do in SEO.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, folks, let us know what you think of what's happened in 2023. What's going to happen in 2024? Do you think we're kind of pointing in the right direction, as we said earlier? Let us know in the comments. If you're on YouTube, let us know on the ratings on Spotify and all that kind of stuff. We'll have a Q&A and a little poll on Spotify if you want to go and let us know on there as well. There's a nice little interactive element on Spotify now. So it's not just the YouTube comments, but please do, we'll be in the comments to answer any questions you have, any thoughts, and any hot takes you have for 2024 as well. So this is the last episode for 2023. Thank you so much. If this is your first episode, hello and welcome. Please stay tuned for all the good stuff we've got coming up next year. And if you've been with us for the last year or for the last 101 episodes or 232 episodes or whatever it's been of the podcast now, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for watching. You've been watching us on YouTube. Thank you so much to Systrix for having us and hosting us for the Systrix with Canda show every single month throughout 2023. It's been a blast. We'll be back, of course, with more podcasts and more content, of course, next year. Mark and I will be back pretty much every month doing this similar kind of thing on our own YouTube channel going forward in 2024 as well. So stay tuned for lots more Canda content and plenty of awesome updates from Systrix throughout 2024 as well. In the meantime, if you are celebrating, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and we'll see you in 2024.